Welcome to The Mist, a show about mysterious stuff and me demystifying it. Stuff like performance enhancers.
This morning, Russia is rejecting allegations of widespread doping by its Olympic athletes.
Canseco spoke of rampant steroid use in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it could be something simple, as in taking a protein powder.
But I don't give radical hormone therapy to young boys who happen to be mediocre at dodgeball.
Oh, God.
No, not like that. More like...
Even though they evolved to deter consumption, we are rewarded to consume them. So what's going on there?
Yeah, like I'll tweak out on it.
Yeah, I love the stress of it.
And it increases strength and it makes them a better hunter.
It was my creation based off of the Starbucks double shot, which is like just espresso.
I don't know. I don't know if it's hardcore, but it's just like the next level up, you know?
I first started thinking about unconventional performance enhancers after talking with an anthropologist who lives in my city.
My name is Casey Roulette, and I'm a biological anthropologist, and I study recreational substance use, mostly among sub-Saharan African kind of mobile populations.
I first met Casey when I was researching ayahuasca and how different cultures use the drug, and he started talking about psychedelics as performance enhancers, and that reframed how I think about performance in general and the ways that we can directly improve ourselves.
But I still think there's probably a role for kind of a performance enhancers for these other, you know, like ayahuasca and peyote. And it may not be necessarily work-related performance enhancement, but it's potentially spiritually related performance enhancement.
So if we consider performance about more than just physical sports, running faster, lifting more, it's a way to look at everything we do with potential to be better. Everything we do can be improved by taking something, or at least it can be directly impacted, just like getting up and going to work every day.
In Jamaica, they would often, these people working on the plantations there, use cannabis to do the same thing, to kind of deal with that drudgery and monotony of working in these fields. It allows you to keep going and allows you to maybe work longer and harder than you would have otherwise.
But of course, most of us in the U.S. have something for that. When I sat down with Casey, I asked a typical question just to gauge his sound. Can you tell me what you had for breakfast, please?
I had my own coffee at home. Already ground coffee put in a drip coffee maker.
All right, that'll do it.
I had my caffeine, and I have more right now. That's all I need.
And we'll call that normal, because it is for us, mostly. Caffeine is the most widely used mood booster in the world, according to some sources. And fun fact, the country that consumes the most coffee is... It's Finland, of course. What, you didn't know Finland's national anthem? Several reports say the average Finn consumes more than 2.5 cups a day, which makes sense. It's cold, it's dark for a lot of the year. People need motivation just to do things when it's dark outside. But weed, as a performance enhancer, that seems weird, right?
Let's go over some of the symptoms of marijuana use, shall we? Slow moving, inattentive, dull, constantly snacking, shows a lack of motivation.
I just think that a lot of that was self-selected a little bit. Cannabis was out in this periphery. It was illegal. It was kind of viewed negatively. And so the people that were going to use it were probably those people that self-selecting. They were kind of like that anyways. They were going to be antisocial and sit on the couch, play video games all day. Part of it's maybe a little bit of self-fulfilling prophecy. This is the way my culture says you should behave on it, so this is the way I behave on it.
In addition to Jamaican plantation workers and antisocial video gamers, the groups Casey studies in East Africa use it too, and they use it a lot. Coming up, he's specifically talking about a tribe in the Congo called Aka.
I mean, they definitely notice that cannabis is stronger than tobacco. It enhances your performance so that you can stay more focused. You can continue to kind of get through the monotony and the drudgery of hiking through the forest a little bit. But then if you use too much of it for prolonged periods of time, you just become that comic character in the camp where everybody kind of ridicules you and makes fun of you because you're useless on a hunt.
A lot of Casey's work has focused on how Aka and other tribes use cannabis and tobacco for a lot of things, including one surprising health benefit.
For my dissertation research, I went to the Congo Basin with a hunting-gathering population. About 95% of the men smoke tobacco. 2/3 of the men smoke cannabis.
You heard that right. 95% using tobacco. That's 95% of men surveyed.
We found evidence that it's tobacco use might be preventing worm infections in the gut.
In addition to being a measurable health benefit, Casey says members of the Aka tribe smoke weed and tobacco to feel warmer and to feel stronger while they're hunting and foraging. And yeah, I just listed a health benefit of smoking tobacco. So, obligatory mention here, tobacco use has also been found to have serious health consequences like cancer and emphysema. Back in my corner of the world, a distinct group is using drugs regularly to enhance their performance as well. And it's arguably for the most important performance of their lives.
I'm a sophomore, and my major is PR. It just changed, and with a minor in marketing.
I'm a senior. I'm a public relations major.
Right now, I'm an undeclared major.
A senior and communications, or communication. No S.
Are you sure?
You're really upset about that. If we put the S on there, that you're really mad.
College students. I caught up with a few students at San Diego State University, my alma mater. It was finals week.
So how many hours of sleep have you gotten today?
2 total.
Why?
Not enough time in a day.
We're calling this first student Annie. She didn't want to use her real name, and I just wanted to find out students' ideal study conditions and what they use to do their best.
So what were you doing instead of sleeping?
Studying for accounting. I have a calc exam on Saturday as well. There's also a comm final. Just a lot going on.
Wait, so how many finals do you have left?
I have 4, kind of. 1 paper due Friday.
That sounds like so many. Does it feel like so many? Did I make you feel bad by saying it that way?
No, I know it's a lot. After a while, it just, you know you have a lot, but it's like desensitized, you know?
So when did you start working last night?
I started working, I came home at 6 p.m., took a 20-minute nap, and then hit the library at 7 p.m.
When did you leave the library?
I left the library at around 3.
Why didn't you just sleep at the library? I've done that before.
Good question, actually. No, I guess I have to leave the library in order to signify to myself, like, okay, you're done studying.
And how do you feel right now?
Actually more tired. I think it was probably worse that I went to sleep.
So how did you stay up that late?
A lot of coffee. frequent, like, walks, I guess, like, just get up. What I do is I go through each of the aisles in the library and I look at the books.
Up next is Bernice, also not her real name.
So this week was kind of stressful getting ready for those presentations, but now I have a week to get ready for my last final.
I am a big fan of all-night cramming. I used to work at Starbucks, so it was kind of just an instinct of mine to drink a lot of coffee at night, stay up all night, and wake up early for work. I, at one time, was a big fan of this one drink that has 5 shots of espresso in it, and it also has, I will get sugar in it just to, you know, add to that. So at that time it was maybe like 5 shots of espresso, and that was just a perfect night. Like, with that sugar and that espresso, it was perfect.
Coffee, special Starbucks concoctions, strolls through the library. All of these things aren't really getting the job done for a lot of students.
I do use Vyvanse, but I actually have a prescription for it because I was diagnosed with ADD. As far as, like, studying, I mean, that's when it mostly comes in handy.
How often would you need to use it to help you focus and study?
7 days a week.
I have definitely tried Adderall on multiple occasions, specifically when I was in more exams than I needed to get into my major. So I was taking Adderall with the coffee, and which
helped me stay up, which is what I thought was helping me. Like, I'm staying up, so I'm obviously doing stuff, but I wasn't very focused with Adderall. It didn't really help me focus. On one occasion, it helped me get, like, a 98 on an exam, so that was cool.
Then there's this guy.
You can use my name. It's fine.
And what's your name?
Matt Hoffman.
Cool, thank you.
He's trying to achieve the same thing. Focus for long periods of time.
Definitely senior year has been the hardest year juggling, you know, like clubs, you know, work, and then internships and school. Definitely has been the most challenging this year, senior year.
But he does it a bit differently from everyone else I talk to.
If there's a paper due tomorrow, like, I'm writing it the night before.
No, not that part.
No, yeah, always Dr. Peppers. I don't know why. Yeah, or that or orange soda, but orange soda, I don't think it has caffeine in it.
Okay, you're like the weirdest outlier then.
I just did one, like a long one. It was a partner paper, which made it even harder. So we met the library at 11 a.m., and then we stayed in the library until it was due at midnight. I had Dr. Peppers, I had orange soda, and we just stayed there and wrote it and just cranked it out.
Did you finish all of the soda?
Yeah, I finished all the soda, yeah. And I had to brush my teeth pretty good that night.
Had you ever considered using anything else?
No, and it's obviously the pressure's always there because, like, when I'm studying with people, just by the finals right now, I study with this girl, and she's like, I got to take an Adderall. I can't focus without it. And it's like, I don't understand. And I don't want to, like, become dependent on that, so I've never taken it. But I know she's talking about, like, take half an Adderall with me, and I don't even know what that means, you know. What's a whole Adderall do? What's half an Adderall do? I don't even know, you know. So, yeah, I stay away from all of that. I don't know. I don't know if it's hardcore, but it's just like the next level up, you know? Like from like alcohol or like weed or something like that. Like it's kind of like the next level up.
So are you fearful of the next level?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, fearful of the next level for sure, yeah.
Why?
I don't want to become dependent on like Adderall to help me study, you know? I'd rather just kind of like make myself really, really tired and caffeine it up. But I mean, caffeine's a drug too, so.
I pressed Matt a bit more on this, and he had trouble coming up with why Adderall didn't suit him. Part of his issue was that it's an amphetamine, and students were using it illegally.
Yeah, it's big, definitely. I mean, Adderall's, like, really big on this campus because so many people are taking it.
People like Caroline.
Like, the first time I did it, I was a freshman in high school, and my brother gave it to me because he asked me at, like, 9 o'clock the night before to write a paper for him. He paid me. He's like, I'll give you $80 if you get a B. But at first I was like, oh no, like I'm not gonna be able to stay up that late. He's like, here, like take this, like, cause he was prescribed it. Okay. And so he's like, here, like just like crush it up and snort it.
Caroline got an A on her brother's paper. And now she's a sophomore in college. And her intense study habits are why I wanted to talk to her.
It's just cause I'm like so focused that even if there could be music playing and I wouldn't even like pay attention to it. A lot of my friends like know that I like my study methods are like not always like orthodox. Like once I had two exams like one day and I started around 8 o'clock the morning before and then I studied all throughout the day, all night, and then I went and took my exam and then I went right to the library and studied for another, like I studied until I had my 2 o'clock exam.
And you didn't sleep?
No. I'll like start to get tired when I'm like if I'm like staying up for like 24 to 36 hours, but like I could, like, then the Adderall helps me with the focusing part, but it's like not making it's making a difference, but not like a significant difference in like whether or not I can stay up. And then, like, throughout the night, when I start to feel like I'm like starting to lose focus or I'm starting to get tired, like, I'll take like a 20 or 30 milligram of Adderall. And, like, I can sometimes take, well, like, we'll take two or three of those.
A typical dose of Adderall for adults being treated with ADHD is around that range, 20 to 30 milligrams. But some users report needing as much as 120 milligrams. It depends on the person.
Like, but I ended up taking, like, throughout the time, like, 180 milligrams of, like, Adderall or Vyvanse throughout the time. Like, it was really abnormal. Like, I usually don't take that much.
How did you do that way?
I was really unprepared. Like, I hadn't gone through the class, like, for, like, like, it's, like, based on, like, 7 lectures, and, like, I had been to, like, 2.5 of them. But it's interesting, like, when I am taking a bunch of Adderall, like, I am constantly taking cigarette breaks. Because I'm tweaking out almost, and then, like, it's, like, a way to, like, decompress when you're, like, studying massive amounts of information. It's, like, those 5 minutes, it's, like, giving my brain a time to relax. So then you're ready to go, and, like, you've had a minute to, like, process the information that you've just all, like, shoved into your brain at once. I would probably end up, like, finishing 10 to 15.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's not good for the lungs. feel like I've tried like most of the basic ones that I've heard of, like Vyvanse and Ritalin and Adderall.
Of those options, Adderall is the most popular, according to the Center for Substance Abuse Research. And Caroline argues this way is actually more self-sufficient and even better than hiring a tutor.
Like, I like would spend $17, I guess, and like that would get me through 24 hours. It's like not very expensive at all. Yeah. You spend $20 for an hour for a tutor versus like you just teaching yourself it, and then your mind's just hyper-focused, and so you retain the information. I feel like I retain the information better.
Caroline also said for a typical all-nighter, she'll go through about 8 cups of coffee, the most of anyone I interviewed for this story. She could outdrink Finland. A 6-year FDA study reported that while adult Adderall use increased, related ER visits went up over 150%. And like other amphetamines, long-term Adderall use can increase the risk for heart disease, paranoia, and dependence on the drug, among other effects. But that's not stopping students. Full-time college students are twice as likely as non-students to use Adderall without being prescribed. That's according to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. And heavy caffeine use, by the way, can result in psychiatric disorders affecting sleep and anxiety. Often, caffeine-induced anxiety disorder is mistaken for bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. And like anything, if you take too much, you can die from caffeine intoxication. But final exams happen. Big papers sneak up on us. Group projects suck. So Adderall and similar drugs have become routine. When people need to cram, they pop pills, or crush or snort them. And when they need to wake up, they chug coffee. And to hike to the next stop, they take a drag of a cigarette or a joint. These are typical for the human experience. Us, directly changing our feelings. We're sipping and smoking and taking pills just to change our mental state a little bit. We're just shifting our mental state to achieve simple goals, enhancing the performance of just living. But back in East Africa, Casey was working on something else that's not routine. It's not typical for daily human habits, but instead it's kind of a release from it, and one that aims to increase the performance of a group, not just a single person.
So I also work with, more recently, a Maasai pastoralist in northern Tanzania. They have used a variety of different locally available wild plants as kind of stimulants and intoxicants, mostly by this warrior age class. And traditionally it was to kind of increase aggression and make them brave for warfare and for raiding, because raiding for other people's cows was a big part of that, of what these young men did. And so to increase aggression and bravery, they would consume this a lot of these psychoactive plants in a tea called Okiti.
One of the tea's key components is Acacia nilotica. And if you remember from your last trip to the zoo, acacia plants are what giraffes eat. And Acacia nilotica is a subspecies containing high amounts of DMT. If you've followed along in past episodes, you are familiar.
And again, this is kind of another performance enhancer. They're using it to kind of enhance this some aspect of their subsistence economy that they have, in this case, pastoralism and traditional raiding to get more cattle from other groups. I was fortunate enough to go on to this what they call Orpul, which is a healing retreat, where typically reserved for men, and they would go and they would drink copious amounts of this Okiti, but probably more importantly, Matori, which is a medicinal soup made of a bunch of medicinal herbs, but the fat of some sort of livestock, like cattle or goats or something. And this is just meant to help them expel pollutants out of the body, as well as help build the bodies.
So it's like a protein shake.
By that, I mean it's very emetic and purgative, so they're vomiting and they get diarrhea quite a bit when they drink this Matori soup.
An intense protein shake.
But also, it's a lot of animal fat in it as well, and they think that that is helping build the body up, kind of getting strength for some event that might be coming up, like a drought or something like that.
As an anthropologist, Casey said it's his job to be a participant observer. So he tried it. They gave him a lighter dose, though.
By the time I left there, I did have some issues recalling certain memory things, doing some memory tasks. So I was like writing a paper. I was like, what is my home address? And it was just like, for the life of me, I couldn't recall it. And it took me about a day or day and a half to 2 days to kind of feel normal again. And again, it wasn't like I had visions. It wasn't like I was super irritable or something. I just felt kind of different.
But to the Maasai,
what they would say is, oh, this makes them very irritable, and they don't like to be around women and other guys. You know, they just want to be off by themselves, and they get mad really easily. And things that might facilitate, you know, aggressiveness. Well, traditionally, it was to go out and, again, get ready for raiding and warfare.
Devising inspired Starbucks drinks, swallowing Adderall or shotgunning Dr. Peppers are, weirdly enough, a continuation of a rich human tradition, a tradition of cultures using performance enhancers. The Maasai, the Aka, Jamaican plantation workers, American college students, they're all looking to just get a bit better than they are now. They're looking to cope. Missed is by me, Nate John. Editing help by rising star Leo Castaneda and the wonderful and lovely Emily Burns. Theme music is by Kevin MacLeod. And if you have a story, especially one about new or fringe religious groups, let's talk. I would love to connect with you, so please send me a letter or voice memo to mistpodcast@gmail.com. And I'm very happy to report you can now listen to The Mist on NPR One. It's an awesome on-demand alternative to radio, and I use it every day. Like, really, I use it every morning while I'm getting ready. So if you've downloaded it already, just pop on there and please follow The Mist. And if you don't use it, you know, no pressure. I just highly recommend it, personally. And as always, please subscribe to The Mist and leave a review for the show. It's a huge help. It helps other people find the show. It benefits me as its creator. And it also just makes me happy. It lets me know that I'm doing something right. So please give me your thoughts in the review section, or you can connect with me directly, mistpodcast@gmail.com, or on Twitter @NateJohn. All right. I'll see you next time.
We have two young daughters. They love SeaWorld.
But of course.
A certain part of SeaWorld, I don't know if they're like incinerating their own trash there or something, but it kind of has that same smell. And it's like, and then you smell the fried food from the stands too. And it's like, okay, I'm in Africa all of a sudden. Even though it's culturally as far away as you could be from Africa, you know, here we are, just like, you spend a lot of money to get there, you spend money to park, and all these vendors trying to get you to buy, you know, all this stuff, and it's completely different than being in Africa, where of course they have vendors too trying to buy.